We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
The bridge guy, that's been a big piece of the Delphi murder case against Richard Allen from the beginning, despite it doesn't really look like Richard Allen at all, but it's been presented in a very ominous way all of this time, in a way where we hear and see on the screen this bridge guy ominously saying, down the hill, while he is behind the girls on the bridge. The reality is, that never happened. He didn't say that ominously behind the girls as he was walking along the bridge. No, he actually said it in passing as the girls had already talked about wanting to go down the hill. This is a crazy, crazy video. Now we've seen it in its entirety. I know you saw it in court, Bob. They played the whole thing, correct, in court?
They did.
Okay, so that at least was there. But leading up to this, all we saw was this 6-second edited version that was played over and over and over, and they said, this is, the bridge guy's the killer. I got questions about how we even came to that conclusion, too. Before we dive into it, let's play the bridge guy video in its entirety, and then we will discuss. We're going to put it down over here to a full screen, and let's watch it. Here we go, and listen. So there's the girl on the bridge. There's bridge guy way back.
See, this is the path that we are down. There's no path going there, so we have to go down here.
Let me break that down a little bit in case it was hard to hear. There's no path going there, so we have to go down here. The first person to say they want to go down the hill is the girls. It is not Bridge Guy. Bridge Guy is not like pressuring them to go down the hill. He's not even not like chasing them or stalking them. He looks like he's just a guy off walking on a day when there's probably a lot of people out there walking because it was a warm late winter day. And then you hear him pass them and he does a friendly, hey, and they're looking down the hill and he goes, yeah, down the hill, which I think I would do too. If you're walking on out in the woods and there's two girls looking confused as to where the path goes and they're pointing and looking around and you know where the trail is. Yeah. Down the hill. There it is. And you keep going your merry way. But somehow that, which we've now finally been allowed to see by the powers that be of Delphi, the magical Oz, it's not at all what was presented to us for the last however many years. Bob, what's your reaction to this video now that you've got a chance to see it outside of court and had a chance to like review it more in depth?
Yeah, I was paying attention to you right there, but I sent you a version when I think has better sound.
Okay.
That maybe you want to plug in, where we watched that. It's got significantly better sound. I had some people up the sound.
Okay.
And send it to me. Yeah. You know, when I sat in court, and from what I understand, this is the original, and remember that there exist three versions of this video.
Okay.
Four, if you're counting what they put out to the public, the 3-second clip of Just Bridge Guy that was all grainy where you can't make out anybody's face. But this apparently was taken from directly from the extraction of Libby's phone. So what we also saw was what they called a enhanced version of it. And then finally they showed us what they called a stabilized version. Now, when I first saw this, when it was released this week, I could not remember. I'm like, is this, I was hitting everybody up that was in court with me during that trial. I'm like, is this the original? Because when I watched the original in court, and I have all kinds of people saying, Bob said he couldn't see the bridge guy. And when you're looking at something that you've been waiting to see for 7 years in a court from 50 feet away on a 55 inch screen, and you're trying to soak in everything. Like when you look at the beginning of that video, where now when you can watch it over and over, you can see that he's behind her, but she's kind of shielding his body initially until there's like Libby pulls back a little bit, and then you can see how far he is behind her. Like I didn't see the dude initially. So then I'm kind of like, you're trying to take it all in, and you're like, wow. You know, and then when I finally do see him, I thought he looked to be 10 yards back, maybe 30 feet behind her. And, you know, when I saw that now in full display, I still think he's probably about 10 yards behind her.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you're trying to figure out the concept of this picture that was floating around out on social medias, another snap picture, the one with Abby alone out on the bridge. Okay. Walking towards, if you're facing Abby, towards the right side of the tracks, kind of looking down, which you'd have to be to cross those railroad ties. And you don't see anybody behind her.
No.
The whole way. Do you know what picture I'm talking about?
I think so. I think I know.
Yeah. What you're like about. Just if you Google it right now, you could find it while I'm talking and you can throw it up. It's like Abby on Monadnock Bridge alone. So at trial, we learned that they could not find that particular picture anywhere in the Snapchat cache of Libby's phone. They couldn't find it anywhere on the extraction that was somehow found on the internet. But we don't know who posted that picture. So when you look at that picture in conjunction with where it appears that she's standing in that picture and how much of the north end is behind her, and you can kind of figure that she's closer to where Libby is than she is to the beginning of the north side of the trestle. So she's not too far from where Libby starts taking the video.
Yeah.
And then you have to try to figure out, well, where the hell does this guy come? This is not the type of bridge that you can run across.
No.
It's a railroad, an old defunct railroad trestle. So it's literally railroad tracks where you have between a 14 and 16 inch gap between railroad ties. Okay, so like you have to veer it, and on top of that, half of these ties are completely deteriorating. Some of them are missing completely. So this is a very treacherous, terrifying walk across this bridge. No one is jogging across it. No one. So it then leads you to the place, well, where is this guy? You know, it appears that there it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's no, There's no bridge guy on that shot. So right. Well, the only other thought I would have on this is, number one, it didn't appear on her phone. So that's weird in itself. So did somebody else take this? Is that the question?
Yes.
Basically. Okay. So if somebody else took it, yeah, I mean, who would that be? How would that be?
It could have been somebody that had access to her Snap account. How do they get the picture is the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
Because what I'm saying, it's not in her Snap cache. I'm talking about the extraction of her phone.
Yeah.
And one of the questions that I have, and I'm going to, Stacey Aldridge is going to be on our show next Thursday. Mm-hmm. And she was the defense expert, the phone forensic expert on the case. And she's going to talk about everything that she testified to. So I'm going to ask her if that means, does what is in her Snapchat cache, is that the type of thing that you can extract with the use of Cellebrite? Or mm-hmm. because the whole point of Snap is that the pictures disappear.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you're sending disappears unless you have it in the setting that it doesn't. And it also gives people the opportunity when you put it out there that they can grab a screen grab of it and they can save it down to their photos.
Yeah.
So, but my question is if this was taken with Libby's Snap, would Cellebrite be able to extract it even if it had disappeared mm-hmm. through the Snapchat application? Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Timestamp would be important on this too, like an authentic timestamp from the original.
Any kind of metadata, 100%. Yeah,
because this it could be easily explained that they were playing on the bridge for a while. Bridge guy just hasn't gotten there yet, and they were hanging out there for a little while, and then eventually that other guy is coming this way, and they decide to start moving forward because they see somebody coming, you know, that's going to eventually pass them on the bridge. I don't think I'd really want to be next to anybody on that bridge that's going to pass me, so you're going to kind of keep moving.
So in here, if you're looking behind Abby and you look to the right side of the rail, you can see one of the two platforms.
Yeah.
Okay. Go back there. See that thing that's sticking out? Yep. Right where your little cursor is. Yep. That is one of the platforms. There's two of them. And if you look way, way beyond that to the left, you'll see the other one. Blow it up again.
It's about as big as I can blow it up right there. Let
me pull it so down. You see it. It's almost, you can see that thing sticking out that looks similar to the piece of wood that's sticking out right there.
Yep.
Exactly. Right. You see what I'm talking about? No, you had it. Move the hand up again. Like up
in this area.
Like, yeah. It's on the left side there.
Yeah. Exactly. It's right there. Yeah.
So that is the first platform. So if you're able to look and you can Google an aerial view mm-hmm. of the Monon High Bridge, there are those two platforms and they are at the opposite end of where she is at. You can see how far behind that is. Of her. So she is not hanging around just playing on that bridge. Mm-hmm. Libby obviously had a lot less fear in terms of crossing that bridge because she beat, like when you're hearing about people talking about crossing that bridge, it's like people are like, yeah, but I got down on my hands and knees mm-hmm. and crawled across it because it's that scary.
Yeah.
You're like 67 feet above a creek.
Yeah.
When you're over the creek and when you're not over the creek, you're 67 feet above like ground.
On rotting wood.
On rotting wood. So it's a terrifying experience. So like Abby is not sitting chilling, hanging out, like posing for pictures there. She's trying to get across. Mm-hmm. My point is the only thing that makes sense to me is that the killer came past them from the south side of the bridge and then turned around when he got past both girls. Mm-hmm. That he pretended like he was walking by and then at some point hung a Yui and started following them.
Yeah.
And because it doesn't make any sense other way. It just doesn't add up. And if that's the case, I mean, to me, that's pretty exculpatory as to Richard Allen.
Yeah.
Because he was not coming from that side of the bridge. Mm-hmm. Like that side of the bridge, you know, where you'd park to get there is a long distance away from where Alan said he parked and from where the state, the police are saying that he parked, which was the old CPS parking lot.
Yeah.
So like, this is at the opposite end of that. Okay. So it doesn't really work for me in terms of it being Alan, if they're going to stick with, well, this is where he parked and you know, that's where he was waiting. And then he's following him down the bridge. Cause where is he in the other picture? That other picture tells the tale. Cause what I'm saying is that the amount of time that it would have taken Abby to get to where we see her jog past Libby. Cause at that point she's clearly over where there's peril.
Yeah.
Like, cause this track runs, it continues to run just normal tracks. Once you finish crossing the trestle itself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and then as soon as she got like right to the end of it, like anybody, when you're doing something like pretty scary and you kind of get to the very end of it, you kind of like rush your way through it and get to safety. Right. I mean, that's a normal thing to do, which is exactly what she did.
Yep.
And you know, so we know that she's pretty close to that end and there is just not enough time for that guy to make up all that space, all that distance in the time that it would have taken her from where the picture that you just showed to where she gets to safety, to where Libby's filming. So, I mean, for me, it just raises a ton of questions. Obviously everybody on there, you know, that's watching this thing is trying to figure out exactly what's said. You know, you've got that confirmation bias thing where people have said, Oh, that's a gun. But then, you know, like I'm hearing people, I asked like Grok, I'm like, Grok, pretend like you're a court reporter and you're watching this video and can you give me a transcript of what's being said? And Grok's like, I cannot do that. I don't know. I am just a robot. I can read with the transcript. You know, and it's like, so, you know, there's going to be people that are going to be trying to break down exactly what is said, you know, because you hear a gun being racked?
No.
See if you can put up, like, get the video I
yours.
Sent?
I got yours. Let's take a look at it.
Throw it up there. Let's see. I think the sound's significantly better.
Here we go.
See, this is the path.
Yeah, you know that?
There's no path going there, so we have to go down here. See, this is the...
Guys?
Hi.
Yeah, you look out.
There's no path going there, so we have to get down here.
Guys.
Hi.
Yeah.
So that video, it looks like it repeats, right? It's not just
right. That like I think my buddy made it like repeat two times. So it's a 43-second video total.
Yeah.
And like I don't hear a gun rack. At all?
No.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.